Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Roll the Quadcast, a Blogger So Deer podcast where little old Charlie Brown is still trying to kick that football. Blogger So Deer is the go-to website for the best independent analysis of Wake Forest athletics. Welcome to another live edition of Roll the Quadcast. I'm Robert Reinhardt here on Sunday, August 27th, 2017. Normally, I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Riley Johnston. He's unable to join us this evening, as his fellow contributor, Bart Johnston. So you're going to have a one-man pod here this evening. We're going to see how it goes. Sort of a throwback to some of the Facebook Live videos that I used to do, so I'm going to try and channel my inner Colin Cowherd this evening. But I think it's still going to be a great show, even though there haven't been any games played in football yet. A lot of exciting news and things to talk about. We're going to go over the brand new football depth chart that was just released on Friday. We're going to look ahead a little bit to Presbyterian as the Deacs kick off the season, Dave Clawson's fourth year, on Thursday evening. And then, not to be forgotten last, but certainly not least, we will go over the Jalen Horde commitment, who committed to Wake Forest Saturday afternoon, a major recruiting win for Danny Manning and his staff. But we will start with the football depth chart that was released on Friday, and it's the football depth chart for week one, so it can obviously change throughout the season. But I think the big news here is that John Wolford has officially been named the starting quarterback over Kendall Hinton. Kendall Hinton was the starter going into camp, and I think a lot of people expected him to win the job and didn't think it was as much of a competition. But I will say, John Wolford earned this job, and, you know, there are two camps. There's the pro Hinton side, there's the pro Wolford side, and in our discussions previously, Riley has always been the more pro Wolford of the two of us. I've been more pro Hinton. But what I will say is that John Wolford absolutely deserved this based on his play in the scrimmage. Clawson had no choice, in my opinion, but to go with John Wolford. He was clearly the superior quarterback based on the statistics throughout all three scrimmages, throwing for more yards, with more accuracy, higher yards per attempt. And yes, while Kendall Hinton was at a disadvantage in that his number one strength of being an elusive runner was not able to be utilized because of how the game was played in terms of the quarterbacks couldn't be tackled, I think even so, Wolford was still clearly the superior quarterback. And in terms of having, I think, the respect of the team, Clawson had to go with John Wolford as the starting quarterback. So we will see. Last year, Wolford was also the starting quarterback for the first game of the season, though he was also the starter headed into fall camp, even though it was a competition. And we saw that Kendall Hinton was really needed to win that ugly opening game against Tulane and then win the following week against Duke. Wolford simply wasn't getting it done there, and then Hinton earned the job only to get injured that very game against Delaware and then essentially be out for the season with a knee injury when Wolford took over again. But based on the injury history of both, I think we're going to need both throughout the year. And, you know, I expect Hinton to play absolutely on Presbyterian. I think pretty much the entire team is going to play outside of obviously people that Clawson intends to redshirt this year. But it's going to be interesting, that Boston College game week two. A very good defense. Is Wake able to successfully move the ball? Does Hinton come in? Do we see Hinton in specific packages? I don't know. I think that's going to be interesting to see. But just wanted to break down really a lot of the depth chart. I won't go position by position, but I'm going to call out some general themes that I'm seeing. And I think the general theme that I see, and it's a testament to how much better the team has gotten overall, in Clausen's 4 years, and now his fourth year here, when you look at the depth chart, is that, you know, early on, you really just didn't see – he inherited a roster that was not very talented. On the defensive side, they were, but offensively just absolutely awful. All the stats, both standard counting stats and advanced stats, will back that up. But you had players then, you know, in his second year where you say, okay, this guy could be a player, and he was a starter, but you were counting on him. Well, now – what you have are a lot of fairly proven guys winning the top jobs. But then you have those X factors coming in behind them. So I think, look, you go right down to the tailback position, starting tailback, Cade Carney, followed by Matt Colburn. We saw what those guys were able to do last year, both able to be productive players. Carney is as a true freshman last year, and Colburn improving as a true sophomore last year. Both had, you know, very solid years. Now, at third string, you have Arkeen Bird, who's somebody we've heard a lot about, a big recruiting win for the staff, somebody who's got a chance to be a real speedster, can hit a few home runs, and he's going to be our third string. So, you know, a few years ago, we would have been counting on an Arkeen Bird to potentially come in and start, and we would have been all X factor there. Where now we're pretty much just all upside with Arkeen Bird, because if he's only but so good, we can still rely on Carney and Colburn. And then I think, you know, moving down, you see that in the wide receiver positions as well. Scotty Washington was a redshirt freshman last year. Wes Johns of Scout.com, who does a phenomenal job over there, would strongly recommend. I think he's got a lot of position previews going out there, and they are free, to the best of my knowledge. So you should subscribe to the site. Has been saying all month what a job Scotty Washington has done. And there he went in, and for the X receiver position, beat out Cortez Lewis. Cortez Lewis is a guy who 2 years ago, not very long ago, was Wake Forest leader in receptions, receiving yards, and tied for the team lead in touchdowns. So now we have someone who's fairly proven backing up someone who's beating out someone who was proven. So I think that's exciting. I said I wasn't going to go line by line, but it sort of just happens this way. Then you look at the slot. Tabari Hines, who did actually lead the team in receptions and reception yards last year, is starting in the slot. That may not come as a huge surprise, but it somewhat does, considering the phenomenal things we've heard about Greg Dortch and the stats we've seen from Greg Dortch. He's an electrifying player. He can score in multiple ways. They'll get him the ball in space, get him the ball as a runner. And so I think it says a lot that despite all of the, you know, praise that Dortch was receiving during the month of August, Tabari Hines was still able to beat him out. So I don't view that as a slight on Dortch. I view that more as a compliment to Hines and where the position is going. And then I think you look at the offensive line, Jake Benzinger ended up beating out Javonte Nash for that right tackle position. That was really the biggest battle, but I think that's encouraging. And then you look at all the other starters, all redshirt juniors, 3 years of starting experience between Haran, Haynes, and Anderson. So, well, this will be their third year starting, I should say. So a lot of excitement there. I think the communication is going to be better. I think the strength is going to be better. Overall, this should be the best offensive line that Wake Forest has had under Clausen's tenure, and I think that's certainly part of the reason you've seen our quarterback play struggle. There have been a number of reasons, but you know, not able to protect long enough for our receivers to get open and for our quarterbacks to find the people. So if that offensive line can be better, then that could be a lot for the offense. And Clausen has said in the past, and he is, again, a straight shooter, and will tell it like it is that he truly believed offensive line would be a position of strength for us one day. And that's what he did when he first got here in his 2014 recruiting class, which he had 2 months to assemble, is he went and he recruited five offensive linemen because those are the guys you need to develop first. He redshirted all of them. And got him in the strength and conditioning program as soon as possible, and then funneled it in with skill position players in subsequent years. And, you know, hopefully, now that a lot of these players are redshirt juniors, we start to see a lot of that effort and a lot of that strategy really come true. So, and then I think you see similar things on the defensive side of the ball. We've heard a lot of great things about Carlos Boogie Basham, a defensive end. And he's able to be a nice backup for Duke Ejiofor. I mean, that is a great luxury to go from an all-ACC player to a high-impact redshirt freshman. That's exactly what you want. You want your depth chart to have proven veterans and then young but talented players who can come in, get some meaningful reps, and then the year after really take over and be more consistent. And then I think you look at the defensive tackle position. Willie Yarberry starting a defensive tackle. Suleiman Kamara, who was one of the higher rated recruits in last year's recruiting class, was able to redshirt last year, and he's going to give significant backup minutes to Yarberry. So I think that's another thing that you want to see. In the secondary, I think there's some cause for concern. At the cornerback position, I would say because of the lack of depth, Asan Bassey did beat out Cedric Giles. So I think that's a fine two deep right there. But then at the other cornerback position, Amari Henderson is the starter. Jasser Taylor, a true freshman, backing him up. So I think that's a case where we're going to miss Deontay Austin. Not necessarily a knock on any of them. I just think we would want another one of those bodies in there. So we will see how that goes. But I think that's just my overall takeaway of the depth chart. Obviously, the quarterback gets all of the headlines and on our website as well, what we wrote about. But I think the theme other than that is that you're going to have proven players at a lot of the starting roles with upside coming in from behind them. So I think, you know, it's going to be an exciting season. And it's going to be exciting to see which of those young guys really, really pop as the games go on. But speaking of games, our first game will be Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at BB&T Field. The Wake Forest Demon Deacons will head into Dave Clawson's fourth year in Winston-Salem when they take on the Presbyterian Blue Hose from Clinton, South Carolina. Will be the first time that they've played since, I believe, 2010. I probably should have researched that, to be honest. But the last time they played, Wake Forest absolutely demolished them, but you will probably remember that infamous skip pass that we saw on the sidelines. Made the top plays, but Presbyterian, I know we talk about FCS teams. Not all FCS teams are created equally. Obviously, you hear about the North Dakota States of the world, but even Delaware, who was not that great of an opponent last year, is significantly better than this Presbyterian team. Presbyterian, a very small school, only about 1,200 students overall. So their entire population is less than a one class at Wake Forest, and Wake Forest is by no means known for its large student body. This is a team that went just 2-9 last year, scoring 98 points overall, average 2 yards per rush, just 5.5 yards per pass attempt, 3.9 yards per play, only 7 out of 18, 13 field goals. So many thanks to Edward Foster for compiling those stats in the article that he wrote down. I mean, I would just say in terms of expectations, you're going to want to see, you're going to want to see Wake put up a lot of great offensive production. I would say you hope we hang 40, close to 50, but I think you also want to see us just run some of the most simple base offense that you can see. You do not want to give away anything into next week against Boston College, because that Boston College game, I think, is one of the most important of the season. So I think in terms of looking for what you want to see on the offense, every time we have first stringers out there, and honestly, every time we have Kendall Hinton out there as well, along with the majority of first stringers, you want to see us move the ball with relative ease. And then when we're on the defensive side of the ball, outside of, you know, some of those fluke plays, as we mentioned with that bounce pass where you get players to believe the game has stopped being played, we should be expecting to stop them every time. If they score more than, honestly, 6 points, I would, outside, that would be more troublesome. And I know that sounds like maybe an exaggeration, but when the when their offense is truly as bad as it was, that should be the expectation. If Wake is going to be good enough to go ahead and get back to a bowl game this year against the schedule that we have, we're going to have to, you know, show that we're capable of completely shutting this team down. Because if we have some issues, while there's essentially a 0% chance that we actually lose this game, that's where I think you get into showing some causes for concern and areas that could be problematic moving forward. But, I mean, really, those are just my only thoughts on the game. I would encourage all of you who can to get out to the game. I know it can be difficult, especially if you don't live in Winston-Salem, to get to the game, but I do like the 6:30 start time. Hopefully you're able to leave work a little bit early if you're coming from Charlotte or Raleigh. Get there around kickoff time, and then you do have that extra half hour or so since the game starts before 7. And hopefully get back and be rested up enough for work on Friday. So excited about that. And, you know, I think that's all I'll say about that game. But transitioning a little bit to basketball now, I know we have another BSD Recruit Report podcast as part of the Bloggers of Deer podcast network. I think those guys do an absolutely phenomenal job. They do a far better job than I do in terms of covering recruiting, but prepare to do another episode. I can't not talk about the Jalen Horde commitment. Jalen Horde committed to Wake Forest Saturday afternoon, right around noontime. It was a great day, a truly great day. A lot of celebratory reaction on Twitter, and rightfully so. Jalen Horde took an official visit, an unofficial visit, excuse me, to Wake Forest on Thursday with his family, and then on Friday, news came out by Evan Daniels of Scout.com, who does a phenomenal job with all things college basketball recruiting, announcing that Jalen Horde would be announcing his college decision on Saturday. And all signs for a long time had pointed to Horde committing to the Demon Deacons. All crystal ball predictions had been for Horde to Wake for a very long time. I think it just says an outstanding job about what Manning has done in terms of recruiting him and establishing that relationship. And why are people so excited about Jalen Horde? Well, he's a damn good basketball player. He's the 25th overall rated player on Scout.com. He is a 5-star, and I consider Scout to be the best basketball recruiting service. Number 19 overall player on ESPN, also a 5-star. Number 22 in 247 Sports Composite. Last summer when he was playing for France, he is from France initially, though he plays for Wesleyan Christian Academy out there in High Point, but was able to visit campus often. His per 40-minute numbers are tremendous. 31 points, 7.9 rebounds, 4.3 assists for a PER of over 37 in the Nike EYBL AAU circuit this past summer. He started off somewhat slow, I think, as he was sort of adjusting to that style of game, but quickly proved to be a very good player for Team CP3, averaged 15 points per game while being efficient in shooting 50% from the field, 6.4 rebounds, a steal, a block. Guy is 6'8 with a 6'11 wingspan, 205 pounds, definitely room to get stronger. So he has his entire senior year. And then obviously with strength and conditioning coach Ryan Horn, I think that could be a match made in heaven. If he gets his body a little bit better, it could be scary. Great length. I think he will come in and start right away on the wing. He's got the ability to play a stretch four if need be. I think what you're seeing here is that Manning is assembling a team that is going to have the opportunity to have a lot of length and versatility, and guys who can again dribble, pass, and shoot, and switch multiple positions. I think Ford, if need be, could guard two through four. You know, you pair him with Ashondi Brown on the wing. I think those guys could switch a lot. I think that's an absolutely dynamic duo right there. Brown a little bit stronger, but Horde also a great driver and a great finisher. He has some crafty moves that you'll see. Reminds me, he's not as good as, but if you look at James Harden, honestly, with some of his crafty footwork, and both do a great job of of getting to the foul line. So I think that's just very exciting. And, you know, we have a number of recruits who we are heavily involved with, just in terms of the ability to round out this class. Currently, it's 14th overall in scouts recruiting rankings, and the ability to move up when you look at Ayo Dosunmu, a top 25, a fringe five-star point guard. He's taken an official visit to Wake. Mike DeVoe, a four-star point guard. He's taken an official visit to Wake. Isaiah Mucius, you know, a 3/4 who's seen himself rise in the recruiting rankings. Randolph Childress has been after him for a long time. He's scheduled to take an official visit. Nate Lazuski, a stretch four. Think of Dinos Mitoglou, but I would say more athletic and more polished at this stage. He shot, I believe, 43% from three this summer, has seen his stock absolutely rise, getting offers from Wisconsin, Arizona, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Wake Forest. Eric Bossi of Rivals.com projected that Wake Forest would ultimately land him. So we'll see how that goes. I think still a lot of competition here, but Manning can easily point to what he's done with Dinos Mitoglou and his role in that offense, seeing him rise, seeing him now get a nice contract overseas. And, you know, Lazuski, he could maybe play in the NBA, certainly could develop into a very fine professional somewhere. I think we have a shot with him. So a number of big recruiting visits over at September 15th, September 29th, with between homecoming President's Ball as well as a home game against the Florida State Seminoles. So I think good weekends there for bringing in guys. And I think that's, you know, one of these nice opportunities for some synergies between the football and the basketball programs. As you saw the football program rise last year, really, it's a more enjoyable atmosphere for some of the basketball recruits to go to on some of their official visits throughout the fall season, and for obviously for football recruits, but and then likewise the basketball team having a number of really good games in the January December time. That's times in February when the football staff is bringing in a lot of guys, both committed and uncommitted, for official visits. So I think anytime you can have a good student atmosphere, it's exciting. So I'd like to see those programs feed off of one another. And I'm, you know, long way the way, but I'm very excited about a potential 2018-2019 team. And that could be one of our best teams in a very long time. You talk about potentially still having Crawford, Ashondi Brown, and Jalen Horde, one of the, you know, maybe two of the four-star power forwards that I mentioned, Amelo Eagleson and Olivier Saar, who should be a lot better, Darrell Moore, SJM. I mean, I think that could be a team with, again, a lot of length and ability and could be absolutely dynamic. Danny Manning is doing an outstanding job at Wake Forest. Cannot say enough about the job that he and his staff have done so far, bringing us out of where we were. We were pretty much stagnant for his first 2 years, but I think that was really just a matter of him having to deal with some of the players he inherited and get his guys in. And a lot of the guys he brings in, I think the one key word you look for is just versatility, guys who can play multiple positions, defend multiple positions, can shoot, pass, and dribble, and enable floor space. You know, I think that's something he really values and he really understands with the game, and those are, and he's been able to bring those kinds of players in. So I'm very excited. I can't say enough about the job that he is doing and will continue to do. And, you know, obviously he's done a great job with that, but also, you know, would want to thank guys like Mitch Shaw, Ben Sutton, Bob McCreary on the football side, who have done just been incredibly generous with them donating a lot of money, a lot of time to fundraising efforts to put forth the athletic facilities that will make us, you know, competitive moving forward and can actually be an area of positive differentiation and not just an area where we're severely lacking. So I'm very excited about that. I think this basketball program's definitely headed in a very positive direction. This year could be interesting with what we do at the power forward position. Excuse me, but a manageable schedule to certainly get back to the NCAA tournament. Hopefully at least the NIT. And, you know, I think if you look at what Manning's done, you know, this is how you build a program. You start with an unbelievable, you know, relatively unbelievable class with Crawford, Darrell Moore, and John Collins. Huge recruiting wins, getting Crawford over hometown Georgetown, getting John Collins over hometown of Miami. And, you know, yes, we spent a lot of time and effort recruiting Harry Giles, and that didn't work out. But ever since that recruiting miss, think of all the positive things that have happened to the basketball program. John Collins, between obviously his own work ethic and the tutelage of Danny Manning, he turned into a first-round draft pick, actually went above Harry Giles in the NBA draft. He led Wake Forest to the NCAA tournament. We landed a big-time recruit in Shondi Brown, a fringe five-star at a position of need, a wing who could score, can also stop. I can't wait to watch him play. And then what has Manning done to continue building the program? He followed that up with Jalen Horde and Sharon Wright, I think, as a 6'5 combo guard, can, again, provide a lot of versatility in the backcourt. And the 2018 class looks to only get a lot better. It could easily finish top 10 nationally. So very excited about what he's building. And then we're in a good spot with a number of talented 2019 kids. You know, not to go too far off the deep end, but this is what the key to, I think, recruiting at Wake Forest is. I think Manning has found a great niche. If he can consistently recruit players between 25 and 100, just get a few each year, then all of a sudden you're going to have a lot of upperclassmen on the team. You're going to have experienced teams every year with talented guys being able to come in from behind. So it's going to be exciting. We did have one Twitter question from Josh Goodson on Twitter, who does a great job in the triangle, doing a lot of talking a lot about betting spreads, and obviously for recreational purposes only, how big will the NC State Wake game be with Wake trying to knock State out of the college football playoff? Yeah, obviously a ton-in-cheek question there. NC State promises to be a very good team, but we'll be interested to have a big test starting against South Carolina, and then obviously have to play Louisville, Florida State, and Clemson. So we'll see how that goes. I do not expect Wake to win that one, but that could be a great atmosphere because Wake might be fighting for their bowl berth at that time. But about out of time. Thank you guys for putting up with the one voice today. Not quite sure exactly what our Labor Day plans will be for our schedule with World of Quadcast, but we will get that out there. Thanks as always for listening to our podcast and for reading Bloggers Oh Dear. We love you guys. Looking forward to a great football game on Thursday afternoon. Go Deeks!